You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Governor Evers signed his first piece of legislation 2 weeks ago, a law that replaces the phrase mental retardation in state administrative code with intellectual disability. The legislation had bipartisan support, though there was some frustration on the Republican side with Evers. Republican Representative John Jagler in the Assembly and Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald in the Senate had each introduced similar bills in their respective chambers, but Evers also signed an executive order in March calling for similar change. Republicans say he missed an opportunity to work along with them. Leah Kitz joins us now for a look at the impact of the changes, whoever they came from. She's Executive Director of Disability Rights Wisconsin. That's a nonprofit organization protecting the rights of people with disabilities around the state. Leah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, good afternoon.
Well, can you explain a little more what this law actually changes?
It actually changes rules and regulations in Wisconsin. There have already been changes in the federal laws, changes in the state statutes, and now this takes it all the way to the rules and regulations. And so what it does is take the words mental retardation or related type of terminology and replaces it with individuals with intellectual disabilities.
And why was this an important change?
It's important because first of all, it's a term that really is not used anymore in parlance of talking with people with disabilities because of the perception that it carries with it. When somebody uses that term now, they're not speaking, they're not providing a diagnostic type term that's no longer used. They're taking a term and putting a negative connotation on it. And so, you know, if somebody calls somebody else, a friend or somebody, and the R word, when they call them that, they're not meaning it as a compliment. they're meaning it as some sort of insult or that the person's acting silly or something like that. And so it just catches up the current regulatory language to the current usage of the language. Professionally and in everybody's lives.
And are you hoping that this kind of change, in this case the administrative code, can have a trickle-down effect in our everyday usage of words related to what was formerly called mental retardation?
It can. You know, if you look back over time, there are, you know, language changes for many groups over time. It has to do with perception. But usually when terminology is first introduced or first starts being used, it's done so in a professional way, in a way to try to categorize or describe something. So many of the terms that we commonly use even today as insults were at one time meant to describe or categorize people and their learning abilities or their processing abilities. For instance, imbecile was one of the earlier terms that was used. Moron, cretin, idiot, those were all terms to describe people, feeble-minded, people who have difficulty learning or different processing for learning. And those kinds of terms are no longer applied, of course, in a professional setting or in a professional way to categorize people. Those terms are only used to describe somebody who, you know, you're attempting to insult. And so because that it's only used in a negative way, it reflects on the people who it was originally describing. And so we try to move along from those terms over time.
Right. So when you put it like that, it sounds like we have a great talent, unfortunately, for taking terms used to describe different intellectual disabilities and turning them into stigmatizing insults. Is there a way to uncouple that? Can we have a cultural change where we don't keep turning words around that way?
That is an excellent question, because over time you have to keep updating your terminology because of how these things happen. And so, you know, not only are the terms changed, but our perceptions of people and what they need and how they are as part of our society, that has also changed over time. We had, you know, before the turn of the last century, So in the late 1800s, you know, people with what is now called intellectual or developmental disabilities, you know, there were different perceptions of them, some being that they were sort of angelic and held a special place, but they could maybe learn, and so you wanted to put schools together to sort of help them. But as the turn of the century started, as the century started turning, those perceptions changed, and that had to do with some of the Darwin's theories. It wasn't his theories themselves so much, but people's applications of those theories. And the applications were to look at, can we use the process of genetics to create a perfect race? Well, if you're looking at perfect race, that means that some are not perfect because they don't, contain all the elements that you believe are perfect. And so over time, this became the perception of people who had differences, especially learning differences. But not only that, some of it was racial and there were other things. And that there was a problem with them. They were a problem with society. So now what we need to do is, first of all, stop them from having more people, babies, and also separate them from society so that they don't cause problems for society. That was the beginning of some of the institutional care, forced sterilization, and different things, and the terminology for that was eugenics. And that carried on for quite a while. That eventually changed to a medical model where we were looking at people like, what can we do to either prevent these things from happening, people getting disabilities, or treat them. And so people were, involved with a lot of medical research and things like that through the 50s and 60s. But during that whole time, people were still being put in institutional settings, large institutional settings. And over time, society's perception again changed, started to view people as, individuals, part of our families, part of our communities. And why are we putting them there? And shouldn't they be part of our everyday lives? I remember growing up hardly ever seeing people with disabilities in my community. And now they're in part of all of our lives and have enriched all of our lives. The only way I think that the negative connotation really changes is when we really perceive people and welcome people, all people, as part of our lives, and that they add layers and textures and ideas and perceptions that we wouldn't have thought of, or that make us see things in a different way. And so I think the only way we get past the negative connotation, where we have to keep changing terminology, is in part to bring people, to view us all as an interesting woven fabric of society.
And Leah, in our last couple minutes, I want to get getting to the language again. I've heard the idea of a person-first language or person-centered language, that instead of describing somebody as a category like imbecile once was, or talking about a disabled person, going person first to remind us that we're talking about individuals.
Yes, thank you. I didn't realize I was kicked so long on the other thing. Yes, absolutely. People want to be referred or thought of as the person, not the diagnosis or not the problem. And so, but that isn't true for everybody. Some people really own who they are and they want to put it out there. But for the most part, you want to start with, not the autistic person, but the person with autism, not the wheelchair-bound person, but the person who is using a wheelchair. Terminology like that starts with the person, and that's what people first language means.
So are you, as we wrap up, Leah, encouraged by this maybe small change in Wisconsin's state administrative code?
Very, very encouraged. Yes, I think it's great. It got a lot of celebration in the circles and advocates around the state and family members of people with disabilities and people with disabilities themselves. It was a very popular move, and we were very happy that it was done.
Leah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Leah Kitz is the executive director of Disability Rights Wisconsin. We talk with her about a new law that changes the way people with intellectual disabilities are described in Wisconsin Administrative Code.